Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC in our annual election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, begins later this month and again this year. We're inviting your nominations for issues to include issues relevant to the New York City mayoral race and New Jersey gubernatorial race. We'll take your nominations on our website this week. You'll be able to vote on the nominated issues next week. So go to WNYC.org right now and click on Brian Lehrer Show to nominate your New York or New Jersey issue for our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. And that's going to be targeted at the general election. But in advance of the New York primary coming up in less than 2 weeks, Tuesday, September 15th, this show is covering the mayoral, controller, public advocate, and Manhattan DA races. This week, we're interviewing all four candidates for the Democratic nomination for public advocate. The winner of the primary will almost certainly be the winner of the race, with the Republican historically having no shot. Yesterday, we heard from Brooklyn City Councilman Bill de Blasio. We're spending about 10 minutes with each candidate. Later in the week, we have Norman Siegel and Mark Green. Right now, Queens City Councilman Eric Gioia. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian. Really happy to be on.
Same first question I asked Bill de Blasio yesterday. Why should anyone even care who the public advocate is? Make my listeners stop yawning and considering switching over to sports talk.
Brian, your listeners will never yawn because your show is so interesting. Actually, before you even asked a question, I was going to say, I just listened to your last segment and I found it fascinating. Both because of the way I grew up and now that I'm a parent. I think it was Andrew Lamb who was just on, who was talking about how young adults need to have the confidence in their convictions. And I always remember, as you know, I worked my way through NYU, working nights as a janitor, a doorman, and an elevator operator. And when I was applying for NYU, I always remember sitting at the kitchen table in the old typewriters with my dad, and he said, well, what do you want to major in? I said, I think I want to major in political science. And he said to me, son, you'll never find a job. You need to major in business. And so I hit X on the typewriter, and I majored in business my first 2 years. I hated it. I almost failed out of school my first semester. And it wasn't until I went and saw a guidance counselor, and I told her how unhappy I was, and she said, well, why don't you major in what you want to major in? And, you know, it's made a big difference in my life.
Well, so, you found a job as a city councilman. Why do you want to find a job as public advocate?
Good question. Listen, especially in these tough economic times, public advocate is an important position. The truth is that sometimes if you're not wealthy or well-connected in this city, government doesn't hear your voice, and more people are feeling invisible and left out. I believe deeply that there should be one person at City Hall at the highest levels who both listens to regular New Yorkers and who has a record of getting results that make a difference in their life. And I think if you look at what both who I am and what I've done over 8 years, it is just that. Most recently, convincing Costco to begin accepting food stamps. Those are the type of results I've delivered as a city council person, and that's exactly what I'll be doing as public advocate.
Mark Green and Norman Siegel both have long histories of being thorns in the sides of public officials. Green did this job for 8 years. Siegel is a renowned civil rights lawyer, and the New York Times endorsed de Blasio. Why would you be better than any of them?
Well, there's two questions there. I mean, first, in terms of being a thorn in the side of any elected official, I've never been afraid to take on the tough fights, whether it be City Hall or Con Edison or Costco. But what separates me from my opponents is that I know the difference between the fights that will move us ahead and the fights that just keep us in the status quo, the fights without end, the petty bickering. I mean, I don't know if you saw our debate on ABC on Sunday, but I mean, I joked that I felt like I was at a professional wrestling match and that they'd done everything but hit each other with chairs. And, you know, the thing about those type of attacks and mudslinging, I'm not worried that people will have their feelings hurt. I mean, you run for office in New York, you've got to develop a pretty thick skin. But the problem is that those attacks don't stop when the campaign ends. And it gets in the way of focusing on the issues that, especially in these tough economic times, New Yorkers need us to focus on. And I think what separates me in this race is two things. One, my perspective, and two, my record. We need somebody who sees the world, who sees our city for what it is today, and understands, not because I read about it in the newspaper or because my staff told me about it. This is not an academic exercise for me. This is very personal to me, Brian. And the issues I fight for and the people I fight for are personal to me. And I think when you look at my record, it speaks to that. My sister's a school teacher. She came home one day and she told me she spent $800 trying to fix up her classroom. When I learned that the city wanted to stop reimbursing teachers for out-of-pocket school expenses, I worked with my colleagues and I changed the city budget. They don't get reimbursed for the full $800, but they do get reimbursed something. That's the type of record I have, listening to regular New Yorkers and then standing up for them in a way that delivers results.
My guest on WNYC, New York City Councilman from Queens and New York City Public Advocate, hopeful, Eric Gioia. Gotham Gazette had an interesting profile of this race. I quoted this to Bill de Blasio yesterday with their characterization of him as being the more inside kind of politician in this race, whereas the three of you position yourself as more outsiders. And I asked him whether that means he doesn't have the right temperament for public advocate, which is a watchdog kind of position. But Gotham Gazette says, in your case, political ambition, your political ambition has been a joke among your colleagues at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And they see your vote against the city budget in this light. And people in the media see you as at, let's say, the high end of trying to get face time. So do you acknowledge this?
Well, I mean, first, I should say I'm proud I voted against the budget, and it was hard to do. I mean, there's a pretty easy way to be popular at City Hall, and that's to go along to get along. But at some point, when you see a budget and a system and a broken status quo that has led to people going to jail not once but over and over again, and that abuses taxpayers, at some point you've got to stand up and be counted. And that's why I did that. I didn't do it to get press. I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. To be an effective public advocate, though, because the truth is that statutorily it is not as powerful as being mayor. You have to have the ability to highlight issues in such a way that good people say that should not be. As you recall, Brian, I lived on food stamps for a week to draw attention to the issue. It got a lot of press, but it also began to change policymakers' minds.
Some people called it a stunt.
Of course, no doubt. But many more people, so many people wrote me letters and sent me emails and said, thank you. I felt invisible. I've never seen a public official take on this issue in this way. And we've begun to really make big changes on that. I wrote a law to put the food stamp application online. The mayor vetoed the law. I worked to override his veto. And he said that this will be implemented by the end of the year. Now, that's a big change. When I started, the food stamp application was 24 pages long. And some people waited in line for hours just to pick up the application. It's now going to be available online. You can get it at the library or in your home or while you're at work. And so, you know, my point to you is, Brian, is that we face a lot of problems in this city. There are people who used to think of themselves as middle class who now think they can't afford to live in New York City. There are people who do not have health insurance and who are struggling to make ends meet. They need somebody on their side who understands that the job of public advocate is not to be a gadfly. It's not just to yell and scream, and it's certainly not to make insider deals. It's to deliver results that measurably improve their lives.
How do you think you would most be adversarial with Mayor Bloomberg if you're elected and he's elected?
Well, I think I've shown pretty clearly that I have an ability to stand up to this mayor when he is wrong.
On any particular issue going forward?
We have to see how it goes. I mean, but my point is that I've disagreed with him pretty vehemently when he's wrong on term limits, on food stamps, on other things. But there's a key point there as well. You also need to have the ability to work with the mayor when he's right. About a month ago, he and I announced jointly the biggest investment in middle-income housing in about 30 years in New York City. It's in my district on the waterfront in Queens in Long Island City. That's the ability I bring. So it's both to be a fierce adversary when you're fighting for people who need somebody on your side, but also the ability to be conciliatory, to work together with someone for the public good. And that's my point when I said it's like professional wrestling sometimes. Remember, all the yelling and screaming in professional wrestling is fake. And the problem with politics in this city, and sadly sometimes in this country, is that that's what people have come to expect. Fake outrage, phony issues, politicians yelling and screaming like they're pundits on television. That's not what public service is about. Brian, we can do better in this city, and I aim to do just that. We have to rebuild people's faith in government and rebuild people's faith in what we can do by working together. I've shown it for 8 years, representing one of the most diverse neighborhoods in all of New York City. Big accomplishments that make a difference in people's lives. And when I'm public advocate, I promise you, people will not say, let's eliminate this job. What they will say is,
Go ahead. They will say is
what they will say is tune into Brian Lehr and listen to how the Public Advocate's Office is helping to improve people's lives.
Yeah. I asked de Blasio a similar question yesterday, and I'm going to ask you because you both have used your wives in your campaign advertising. Actually, I've seen his. I haven't seen yours, but I've been told. And I've also been told that her middle name, Hernandez, is there in your literature, though neither of her parents was named Hernandez. I haven't been able to confirm this. Is that true?
Her mom is Tika Hernandez Esler.
Okay.
Her dad's last name is Esler. Her mom's Hernandez. They come from. They came over from Cuba when Fidel Castro came into power. They went to Miami International Airport and lived in some pretty deep poverty, and were rescued by a church in Seattle that paid for their trip across the country and set them up. Her mom is a great American success story. She's now a dean at a community college. She has her master's and is on her way to her doctorate in higher education. And my wife, is both very proud of her, and so am I.
And I asked de Blasio about featuring his African-American wife so prominently, your Latino wife. You're both white guys, you the candidates. Are these racial appeals?
I'm sorry,
Is it a racial appeal to a Latino voting bloc to prominently feature your wife and her Hernandez name?
I mean, Brian, I represent a majority-minority district, and I represent it very well. And I think if you speak to the people I represent, they will tell you that they have had better representation over the past 8 years than they've ever had. And I'm proud. I have to tell you, 100 years ago in this city, or in this country, the Irish marrying an Italian was considered an outrage. Many families wouldn't talk to their kids when they did. It is now the most common marriage in America. And my hope and what I believe, I'm married to a Latina. My sister, Lauren, is married to a Latino. I think as we progress in this city, that this will no longer become a big deal. And frankly, I don't think it is anymore.
60 seconds to say anything you want to our listeners, why they should vote for you for public advocate.
Thank you. Well, as you know, I grew up in Queens. I worked my way through college working nights as a janitor. I'm proud of my record. I've stood up to bad landlords, to Con Edison. I sued ExxonMobil for the biggest oil spill in the United States. I'm somebody who understands what it's like to be a regular New Yorker, to live in this city, to struggle. And I also understand that we can do better in government. We need a public advocate who gets it and who delivers results that people can count on and that measurably improve people's lives. I think I'm very different in this field. We're building the biggest grassroots campaign the city's ever seen, and I hope your listeners will stand with me.
Eric Joy, a public advocate candidate in the September 15th primary. We still have Norman Siegel and Mark Green to go in our series of interviews over the next 2 days. Councilman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.
Also, Digesting Politics is back. It's our weekly podcast where Andrea Bernstein, Bob Henley, and I discuss politics over lunch. We'll be recording a new one this afternoon. Digesting Politics is a web-only feature not heard on the radio. You can sign up for free at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. No doubt we'll be talking about these primaries in this week's Digesting Politics podcast.